You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead, pull up a chair.
Hey guys, welcome to the After Laugh. I'm here with my new friend.
Yes, we are friends now.
Zhao Ying
You can say Zhao Ying, but you can't say Summers.
I feel like you just stay with Zhao Ying.
But yeah, Zhao Ying's better. Joke. I say Zhao Ying is good.
Zhao Ying's good. I can get Zhao Ying. Zhao Ying Summers.
Yes, you got everything. You are so smart. Ivy League education is paying
off. And we just talked about you have a bit that is blowing up on the internet about that right now.
Oh my God, on Instagram.
On Instagram.
9.5 million.
So it's going to be 10 million views.
Oh
so
my
what
God.
Do you think that? So the it's a funny joke. I've told people that joke. I've told people that joke. I go, and I've showed them, and everyone laughs.
Huh.
Because it's a perfect joke where it's like just a little bit of edge. Like
yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
But and it has like some sort of racial undertones, but it's authentic too.
Yes, I feel like whenever a Asian person in America say, "My name is Karen Ho," the white people be like, "Hi, Karen Ho, nice to meet you." But they can't say anything. And then all the Asian people, they know the last name is Ho, it's funny, but they also feel bad. And then I just want to make the Asians feel, normalize the word Ho.
Yeah.
And I also want to allow the white people to laugh at it because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So the joke is, she has a Chinese, I'm going to tell your joke.
Yes.
Chinese first name, but why don't you have a Chinese last name?
Yeah.
Say, well, I got married. Before I was married, I was a Ho.
Yes.
Which is just... I mean, that applies to a lot of women. I think a lot of women can relate to that idea.
Yes.
That before they were married, they were a hoes.
Yes, exactly. Like the slutty college days. I think people just like, when somebody was like a very behaving good girl in college, they become a slut after they got married.
Yeah.
But if they got it out, they were wild hoe, they got married, they're a nice wife.
I even think that could be the name of your special. Before I was married, I was a hoe. Like that would be a special that people would click on.
I think so. Or hot hoe summers.
Hot hoe
summers.
Hot hoe summers.
But before I got married, I was a hoe. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean it's a little long, but yeah, it's good. It's a good joke.
Yeah.
We just met. We just did shows in San Diego.
It was an amazing show. We had people coming over to Yale to tell you that's the best show of their life. I'm not even making this up. We have many people came.
It was an interesting. So we have Nikki Paris, who's a very funny gay comic from Staten Island,
mm-hmm.
and then we have you from mainland China.
Yes. Yeah,
and then me. How many comics are there from mainland? Why do I can't speak English? That like are working in Hollywood?
I don't think so. We had Jun Wang. He did the White House correspondent dinner. He was from mainland, but he went back to China. I think 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, but I'm the only gay in town. That's mainland China.
There's several like Asian acts. Like Ronnie Chang has a special out right
mm-hmm.
now. But
he's American.
He's American
Chinese.
Though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people.
Ali Wong is American
from
Chinese, Vietnamese Chinese American.
Who?
Ali Wong. She's
Ali Wong.
Vietnamese Chinese American.
And she was born
in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
But you were born in
China.
Where in China?
Henan province, which is the province below Beijing, is have the largest population and known for the thieves because we are broke, we are big, and we are poor. We just go to other province to do the dirty work, and some people, they steal. People just assume all the people from Henan are thieves.
Oh, really?
China has this... people who are from Beijing and Shanghai, they think they are better. There's no racism because everybody is Chinese.
Yeah.
But there is the classism, like
of course,
based on the city they are from.
Yes,
the people from Shanghai and Beijing, they make fun of people from the other places. They think
of course,
we are locals.
Of course, it happens in America too. Like New York and LA, the rest of the country is like ugh, those people. So that's a lot of people. I mean, I don't think Americans know anything about any other country other than America, but we particularly don't know a lot about China. Like, I think a lot of people only recently became aware of the one child policy. And you you grew up in the one child policy.
Yeah.
So tell the the unwashed masses.
Oh my God.
I just saw a documentary about it, by the way.
Oh my God, on Netflix?
On Netflix, yeah.
One Child Nation.
One Child Nation, yeah.
So what I'm saying is
it's
true.
It's crazy.
Yeah, people don't believe it.
And I just learned, I mean, I really learned about what it was about from watching that documentary, which is silly. It seems like that's something that people should have really known everything about because it's a very, very bizarre practice. By the way, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still people who would argue that the reason that the Chinese economy has proliferated in the past mm-hmm. couple decades is mm-hmm. because of it. But it's also incredibly barbaric. So, what was your experience of it growing up? And tell people what it is exactly.
One-child policy is that in the early 80s, the 90s, there's a policy because China has too much population. They want to control the population because people are starving. So we want to control the population so everybody's taken care of. So you only have allowed to have one child. In the Chinese culture, traditional Asian culture, every household need to have a man. You have to have a man in the house. Mm-hmm. You have to have a boy. So whenever there is a girl as a firstborn, because that's the only child you can have. However, if this girl is gone, you just had no child. You can have another shot at having a boy.
So, and this policy started what year?
I think it started in the 80s.
So then people were having girls and... like throwing them in the river? I mean, they were just killing them and just like, oops.
Or giving away or sell them or giving them away or trade them.
Would they trade them into like the human slavery market or what would they do?
As long as your baby is not with you anymore, they always going to be end up in the bad people's hand. So the parents has no intention of giving the kid to a bad family. But as long as you are going to give away the child, it's always going to end up on places you don't want to know.
So when you were born... Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that you were born in the 80s.
1990.
So that was still when the policy was in full effect.
Yes.
And you were the firstborn?
I was the firstborn.
So what, were your parents happy? Were they like...
When I was born, my father found out that my penis was missing. So he was like, okay. He took me. He was going to take me out. Because if he laid me out by the window, because we have like a very simple house, somebody who wants a baby, because there's people they can't have kids.
Yes.
They would take anything. They would take a girl too. So he was trying to take me by the dumpster, and hopefully somebody's gonna take me.
So he like
my
put
mother,
you in a basket, like old
he's
school,
holding
like,
me,
holding you,
trying to send me right there with the blanket sitting next to me, so people can pick me up because they know somebody had a child here, the baby crying. People who want to have a kid, even a girl, they'll take it because they can't have babies.
So that's how the adoption policy in China works, pretty much. Like people just leave their kids on doorsteps and windowsills. And
so my mother, she couldn't. She just changed her mind. After 30 seconds, my father took me. She just said, I'm going to keep her. He said, you know what fine you're going to get. That you're going to find. We have.
Well, you get fined
house.
If you have a girl?
They will take your house from you and your job. You get fired.
So not only, but you're in line with the one-child policy, but if you have a girl, you're fined?
Because you have a girl and you are going to get pregnant again. It's okay to have a girl.
Yeah.
It's not okay to have a girl and try to have another child.
Yes.
So my mom was she was having another child after she kept me.
Oh.
So she's getting fined. She was fired from her job, and our house was taken from us. That we would be homeless, but my mother was able to sleep.
So you grew up pretty like low income, right?
Low income. My mom was very resourceful. She just ended up. She got fired. She started doing business. She started working in a restaurant as a dishwasher, waitress. Then she was able to move to management. Then she ended up buying the restaurant.
Holy shit.
And so she ended up...
That's the Chinese dream.
Yeah, she had a Chinese dream because she's very ambitious. She didn't understand that why she can't have everything if she's a woman. She want to make sure I go to the school in the city because I was born in the village. She want me to have a better education. So she went to the city to work because she got fired.
Yeah.
She was working for the bank. She got fired. So she just went to become a dishwasher. And then she was very smart. She worked hard. She was able to own a restaurant after 4 years. Then she moved me to the city and gave me the best education.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And your dad during this time, was
he's
also...
Drunk.
He was just drunk?
He's still drunk. It's very strong alcohol.
Was he working too, though?
He was when he was not drinking. He was very smart and bright. He was working alongside of her. But then he just started drinking because of the environment. Having a restaurant, we have a lot of alcohol.
So your mom, your dad owned it together?
She owns it, but in Chinese culture, they don't call her the boss. They call her the wife of the boss, even though she was the boss. My father wasn't even in the restaurant. They just call her the wife of the boss.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Is that sexist?
I would say China might have a sexism problem
Welcome, that's the wife of the boss. Be nice to her. Like, where's the boss? Oh, there's no boss, but this is the wife of the boss.
Now, how did your mom have the wherewithal to do that? Was her mom strong? I mean, was she just always just naturally just strong?
My grandpa was very successful. He was managing this coal mining business, but somebody was trapped underground. There's an accident. My grandpa owns it, but instead of sending somebody down, he was very fast, physically fit. So he went down to save that person. He saved that person, but he died underground.
Oh, wow.
He died a hero, but nobody gave a fuck about you die a hero. You have a widow and five kids.
Yeah.
They starve. So my mom grew up very poor, and my uncles were older than her, 2 or 3 years older. When there's food, they gave the man. So she's always starving because there's no food for her. The man would go out and work. She's a girl. She can't work. Therefore, she's just starved at home. So she always try to have a bread. And my grandma would slap her hand, be like, you can't have it. Give it to your brother.
Yeah.
So my uncle were always having the better opportunity. When she got in the same school, she had the same score. She can't go to school because she's a girl. She wants to go to nursing school. They won't pay for her because she was a girl. And that's why she wanted to keep me even though I was a girl, because she survived being a girl and being not wanted.
Yeah.
There's no food for her. There's no education for you.
At one point, you said she changed her mind. So at one point, she was okay with it, and then just something just overcame her.
Because it's the biggest failure as a woman in China is not having a son.
God, that's...
Because she already failed as not having a father.
And they blame the mother.
They always blame the mother, like something like her stomach is.
Although
not
it's
working.
always it's the male sperm.
Yeah.
So the fact that they blame the woman
they
is ridiculous.
They always blame that woman for everything.
That's so fucking crazy. I mean, I get that. That makes sense if that was 100 years ago, or, mm-hmm. but the fact that it was happening just like in my lifetime and very recently, and even now, it's a crazy concept. So the idea that you're here, you're killing the game. You're getting 10 million views on TikTok. How many followers do you have on TikTok in general?
1.1 million.
Okay, you have over a million followers. I mean, you are doing what all these American entitled white bitches and people and, you know, are trying to do. And you're doing it from, like, a very disenfranchised place. So coming over here, like, I'm just assuming English is your second language?
Yes,
I didn't speak
any English when I came here at age 18.
You came here at age 18. And you spoke no English.
I got lost in the airport in Ohio, Chicago. I don't speak any English.
Yeah.
I just don't. I came here just by myself.
How do you even manage that? How were you able to do that? Because that seems like even that trip alone to get the money to get a flight to America.
Oh, that was a story. That was a story I haven't talked about in my stand-up.
It was a fascinating story.
So I was able to be alive. However, the way I looked was the wrong look. The dark skin and the big cheeks and also big lips. I was always abused for being, he'll call me like dumpling lips.
Dumpling?
Or like a duck. Like they call me a duck.
Which is like in America, that's all people want to do is have duck lips.
Yeah, those lips has brought me so much abuse while I was growing up. I always like this.
That's so hide my crazy.
Lips. And I grew my hair here to cover my face because my face is too big and too dark.
So your skin was too dark?
Yeah, and my lips are too big. So I was just like, I was no attention paid to me for being a pretty girl. I was never the pretty girl. And then something weird happened. My cousin, who was way older than me, and my mom, she got married. She borrowed some money from my mom's restaurant to open this video shop, which all the movies, Hong Kong movie and Hollywood movies. And she cannot pay my money back. In exchange, she's going to babysit me after elementary school.
Yeah.
I go there, and she's always playing all the movies. I was watching the Hollywood movies. I see stuff like a black, beautiful black woman. They are so, like Latina, they are dark, they are beautiful.
Dark skin,
and
big
they
lips.
are like the gorgeous girl. I'm like, I look like that, and well, I'm ugly. Yeah. Maybe there's something wrong with this society.
So you grew
society.
Up thinking that you were ugly because of darker skin mm-hmm. and fuller lips.
Yeah. Then
that
I look at those
bananas to me.
Oh, even now, if I was literally have a flyer of my Laugh Factory stuff, and the Chinese people saw it, they were like, why would they allow her on a flight? She's so dark and her lips too big. She's not even pretty. That's people saying that like as of today, 2022.
That is my God. Because I feel like I see Chinese movies and Japanese movies and the women that are the stars there, they don't have like skinny little lips and like maybe they have very pale skin. Maybe pale skin is something that's considered. But I would never cross my mind that like thin lips in women was a selling point at any point in any
culture.
Yeah,
is it called the baby cherry lips, like a tiny little cherry lips would be the pretty lips.
Oh, like the little... Mm,
yeah, tiny.
Yeah.
Like a baby bird asshole. That's what I say. Like, that's the standard of beauty.
Oh, my God. So, so then you...
I just was very confused. I'm like, they are beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Why am I ugly?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, maybe... Not there's nothing wrong about me, something wrong about the way they think.
Yeah.
I need to go to America. I need to expand my brain and my mind to see what's going on in
this
world.
And how old were you when you thought this?
I was 10 and 11.
10 and 11. So you're, wow. So 10, 11, you were even thinking. This is before you were in
puberty. I was always trying to fix myself. I would, in the summer, I would use a razor blade to try to shave the topper layer of my skin to see if there's anything whiter. But then there's nothing whiter. It's just blood. I have scars on my hands.
Really?
Trying
to make yourself...
Whiter.
Whiter. That is... My whole life, I've wanted to be darker and fuller lips.
Isn't that weird?
I want to have bigger lips and be darker skinned.
Yeah, the society is so weird. Then I just determined when I was, I think, 12. I'm like, I'm going to be good at my English classes because I'm going to America.
Do you remember any movie, any videos that you saw in the store that you remember, like your first like American film where you were just like, oh my God, I want to be there, that you still remember?
I remember the movie Titanic. That was one of the most amazing movie I've ever watched.
Oh my God,
I love
sure.
it so much.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I think for most Americans they felt that way. So I can imagine like...
Yes, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah, and Kate Winslet had big lips. Leo DiCaprio had big lips.
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone has big lips. Mm-hmm. That's why they didn't die because they mm-hmm. were able to float. That's
then I saw like a Halle Berry and uh-huh. I just at awe of how beautiful she is. And then Chinese people actually think Halle Berry is beautiful because she's Halle Berry. She's allowed to be dark with big lips and be beautiful.
Interesting.
But they do think she's beautiful because she is Halle Berry.
Yeah.
They think Beyonce is also beautiful.
Yeah.
She's like, she's beautiful, even though she's curvy.
Is it
curvy
because they're black? Is it because being black is a different thing? Like, you're okay if you're black, you can have these features?
I think being successful.
Okay. All right.
Like, becoming so successful, people cannot deny you anymore to actually acknowledge your beauty.
So who was the biggest Chinese sort of actress or personality that crossed? Was it Michelle Yao? Like,
Michelle Yao, she was known for her phenomenal acting. Michelle Yao was a beauty queen when she was young.
That's right.
But Michelle Yao did have bigger lips, but she's from Malaysia. Malaysia is much more advanced than China.
Okay.
Malaysia is like...
She's from Malaysia?
Because
all
she Malaysian.
Does is play Chinese people.
She is. She does. But she's Malaysian.
Oh, wow.
And that's why she has her look, but she's a megastar. But if you think about Chinese actress like Fan Bingbing or Ziyi Zhang from Crouching Tiger, she was another girl in Crouching Tiger. She has the Chinese look, skinny,
small
pale
lips, skin,
very white.
Yeah,
Michelle Yao is actually probably we have similar skin because she's from Malaysia.
Okay, interesting. Got it. So, so you're growing up, you were looking at America, 10, 11 years old. You started doing better in your English classes because you're like, I gotta learn.
I want to go there, but still, the English was very bad because you have one class per week.
But no one that you know is moving to America.
That's my plan. Nobody thinks I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, so you're keeping it to yourself.
Yeah, I kept it myself until it was like after high school, 1 year before. I said, Mom, I'm going to America. She goes, you are not. I said, I am.
Yeah.
She goes, why? I said, I want to see the world, and I think there's nothing wrong with my look. I think something's fucked up here.
So even through high school, up until you were 18, you were still, were you made fun of in school and bullied in school?
Yeah,
you were never the cool
I wrote
kid.
A love letter poetry because I write comedy not as good as I read in Mandarin. I am a writer in Chinese, in classical Chinese literature. The only thing I was good at is writing.
Uh-huh.
So I have a lot of novels, stuff that I wrote. I wrote this beautiful love letter poetry to this boy I was obsessed with. He's handsome. And he wrote me back. He's like, you are very pretty if you are whiter. So he ended up dating one of my best friends who is like bleached white. That really messed me up. I'm like, bye, China.
Wow. I don't know why that's just so... I feel like everything about Chinese culture just kind of like... It's not good. It just makes me laugh. Because I just feel like what they're being indoctrinated into a worldview that is so removed from most of the world. You know what I mean? Most... Not just America and Europe, but I feel like everywhere else, like you kind of...
Yeah, the being white, Korea and Japan has the same standard, is that in Chinese we call it 一白遮三丑. If you are ugly, you are three times more ugly than a person, but as long as you are whiter, you are prettier.
Wow.
That's literally a a Chinese proverb.
So the biggest white supremacists are Asians, basically.
If you are white, like even my husband, like the Chinese guy I was dating, and he's like, you are actually pretty for a girl who's dark. But you can always Photoshop, you know.
That's, I mean, just as someone who grew up, like, I couldn't go in the sun, I couldn't go to the beach because I would burn and I would get freckles and I had, like, you know, thin little reddish hair. And I always felt so self. And then you'd see these guys that were, like, Brazilian or Puerto Rican, just, like, ripped and tan skin and caramel. And I was always, like, you know, thick eyebrows and long lash. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I want to fuck that guy. And I'm straight.
Yeah, the caramel, yeah. This beautiful skin.
And same thing with women. Like, my first girlfriend was black. She was half white, half black. And I've always been drawn to, I'm not drawn to people that look like me, for sure. Like, I'm not drawn to fucking, like, pasty-ass.
The Chinese people like you. China loves people like you. They love the hair as blonde as it can be, eye as blue as it can be,
China.
As white as you can be.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, if you marry that person, your kid will be whiter.
Oh, that's why.
My mom's asked me, like, you should marry a white guy so you have this mixed babies who is curly hair and white, like a little white devils. Because in Chinese, when China was invaded by eight nations, all the white people, we call them white devils. Because they are the devil, because they invaded China during Qing Dynasty. So you should have a white devil baby. So they would be privileged.
So you think that if they'd have if the white devil was a phrase, they wouldn't want more white. Anyway, so
that's so funny.
That's very bizarre. So so you told your mom you're going to go to America. Mm-hmm. She said no. And I guess at that point, you can do whatever you want because you're an adult.
But I can't afford it.
Yeah.
So I had to beg her. It was a year before the last year of high school. I said, Mom, I have to go. So I brainwash her every night before I go to school. Go to bed, I go to her bedside. I just tell her stories, and then I start brainwashing her. How good is America? Never worked. Finally, she was tired of me. She's like, you know what? Listen, if you can raise your first year tuition in 2 days, I'll pay for everything for 4 years for you to go to America.
If you can
raise your first year
tuition. So the college is University of Kentucky, is that it?
Kentucky. And it wasn't Kentucky. I didn't even have a college yet.
Yeah.
I was just planning on going there, going to America.
She says if you can raise tuition in 2 days, for the first year, 2 days.
I'll pay for everything.
I pay for everything.
That was
a
no.
Which is like an impossible.
Yeah, so I just took my bike next morning. I went to my best friend from middle school. She went to a different high school. I went to the best one. And I went to her house. I said, I'm going to America. She's like, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm going to get 10 grand and I'm going.
Yeah.
She said, how do you get that? I said, your father's going to give it to me. She goes, no, he won't. I went to him. I'm like, listen, I tutored your daughter in middle school. You remember? He's like, yeah, you sleep over here with my daughter. You are her best friend. I said, do you know? She's like, yeah, your mom sells soup restaurant. Yeah, you sell soup in her restaurant. I said, yes. I'm going to America. I'm going to become a big, successful person. Your daughter is so weak. Her boyfriend slaps her. I think if you meet me and her god sisters,
yeah,
I can take care of her later in life because he's in real estate, he has money.
Yeah.
And your son is 40 and they are still playing video games, they're gonna fail you for sure.
Yeah.
So it's better for you to have a daughter like me.
Yeah.
Why don't you make me your goddaughter? He's like, I'm gonna call my feng shui master, see if your sign matches mine so you don't bring any bad
your
luck to
feng
me.
Feng shui master.
He called his feng shui master, he came in, he did my sign, I'm gonna bring him a lot of money if I become his goddaughter. So he made the ceremony, me and his daughter become god sisters. The next thing you know, he called my mom, what's your bank account? I'm gonna deposit 10 grand because now your daughter is my goddaughter, they are god sisters. She's like, I was just playing with her. She's not going to America. You don't give me the money. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. That's my promise to her. I'm going to give you the money and the rest is on you. My mom was like, if you can get 10 grand in 2 days, you probably won't starve in America.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know what? You can go.
Yeah.
Then I started taking the TOEFL exam, English exam, try to apply for schools. I applied for like 25 schools.
25 schools.
First offer from Kentucky. But
yeah.
I got other offers gradually, but I just want to make
degree?
Sure.
What was the degree?
It's for a bachelor for business.
Business, okay.
So I was like, I have to make sure I grab this offer, get a visa before my mom changed her mind, because I was afraid that she would change her mind. Something happened so fast. So I just took the Kentucky offer, went to the embassy, I got my visa. Then I came in here, 2009, January, on my birthday.
On your birthday. What's your birthday?
January 18th.
Okay, I'm the 11th. Very cool.
Oh, so we are workaholics. Capricorns.
Well, I mean, you're a workaholic. I don't know if I am. I think I have some Sagittarius rising and falling and whatever else. So you moved to Kentucky in 2000. You moved to Kentucky in 2009, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's a weird place to move to from China. That must have been a huge culture shock, right?
It's very cold.
Very cold.
China is cold too.
Yeah.
It's very
white.
But also
just the people.
I'm the few Chinese people there.
So when you get there, at this point, like, because white has been elevated, as you probably thought the dudes were hot. The Kentucky dudes were probably...
My first boyfriend was a Kentucky guy who is white.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with him.
Yeah.
He's a nice hoe, turned out. But my second one, he's the best person in the world, but... I lost him. You know.
So the second one is the one, I mean, we can talk about the second
one. The one
is
look like you. Yeah, the blonde hair.
You ended up marrying him, right?
Yeah.
He's your college sweetheart.
Yeah.
And you're with him, like, how, all through college?
All through college. I think the second year, because I was with the asshole for the first few years. Then I was with him. Then we just came to California together.
Mm-hmm. You moved to California together. And you were married.
Yeah, we were married. It was just like the happy days. They go by fast. You didn't appreciate when you have it.
Of course.
The relaxing. You don't fight at all.
Yeah.
Everything's okay, cool.
A relationship where you don't fight? What?
Yeah, right? I lost it.
Yeah, yeah. But you felt that it was a little bit boring.
Yeah, because at that point, I was so ambitious. I wanted to have a career, and I had no direction because...
A career in what? A career in business?
In acting.
So it was always acting.
I want to be an actor. I want to be a performer. It's always what I wanted.
So you just wanted to get on... Whatever it was, as long as you were on stage.
Yeah.
And people were giving you attention.
Yes, because I never had attention growing up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And you had brothers. You had a brother?
Younger brother. Finally, they got a brother. I had a younger sister. They had my sister, and then had my brother.
Yeah.
So they had a boy.
Two girls,
one
and
boy.
A boy,
yeah.
And a boy. So they were penalized a lot.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They were getting fined left and right, and they didn't care.
Good thing they got the one. How's your brother doing? Is he successful?
No.
He plays video games and jerks off in his underwear? What does he do?
That's my... I can't talk about my...
Okay.
No, I'm trying to say something bad about my ex-husband, but I can't say it.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother is everything he does is right. He grew up easy, and so he's not disciplined.
Yeah.
He's trying to get better, but jerk off in underwear, watching, playing video games, and running. Can't like he? Yeah, that's what he does for a long time.
Yeah. And none of your sister, your brother, they don't want to come to America.
My sister don't want to. My brother wants to. So hopefully he's studying right now and he's becoming better. So I'm going to help him to get some education.
Do they have any interest in performing or the art?
My daughter is good with speech. She gives speeches she's a ballerina. She likes to dance. She can, I think she wants to help people with their postures and their speech. So she wants to be a speech coach and a posture, like how the body...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To help people with how they walk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she likes to perform. My brother, he wants to be my driver one day.
I like that.
He's a sweetie pie now.
He's a sweetie... Okay, so you all get along. That's good.
Now we get along, yeah.
And your parents still alive and around? And
My mom is helping me with the baby full time. That's why I'm here.
Oh, that's
my
right.
Mom,
your mom's here. That's
she's
right.
52.
That's amazing. Your mom sounds awesome.
She's amazing. She didn't
come to a show, though, did she, in San Diego?
No, she didn't, because she was with the baby, but...
Does she speak English well?
No, she didn't.
Yeah. She wouldn't understand what the fuck was being said on stage.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So your story from Kentucky, married, business, da-da-da. I mean, 2009, so you graduated Kentucky 2012, right?
I didn't graduate. I left the last semester because I was saving the tuition to put into my rent in California.
And so you moved to California. So that was like 2012, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the fact that from 2012 to like less than a decade, basically, you've kind of like really begun to make a name for yourself out here in the comedy world. What was the first... How did that look? When did you first get on stand-up stage, and when were the first breaks coming your way?
I think I went back to China, met my husband, got married 2008, had a baby 2018, had a baby 2019. After that baby...
2018, 2019, you had babies.
Yeah, 18, I had a baby. No, 19, I had a baby. And the 2020, I had a girl. Yeah, the girl, which is similar to yours age, pandemic baby. After the first baby, I really started to see the people I used to know start having a career in acting, and I have nothing.
Yeah.
I did spend 5 years in training. I trained with Howard Fine in his acting class. I love him. He's been amazing to me. And he told me that I should develop my talent in comedy. He's like, you can be like Lucille Ball and Goldie Hawn, because cute and also funny and charming. And when I really tried to think the next step, I got married and had a baby. After the baby, then the baby, like, you are happy for a while, then you realize everybody's taking off. You are just left there by yourself with no career. Then I try to think, what should I do? And I auditioned for John Singleton's TV show called Rebel. there's a girl, a Chinese girl character, but she was born in San Francisco, Oakland. So she, Oakland, she has this Oakland accent, a Chinese girl. I auditioned, he's like, no, you're not going to get it because you don't have the accent, you don't.
Yeah.
But he's like, but you have a talent for comedy.
Yeah.
You should do stand up.
So John Singleton told you that.
Yeah, I'm like, no. I said, if you like me, you cast me in your movie, your TV show. You know, you don't have to tell me this to just be nice. He's like, no. This is my number. Call me after you get your first open mic. I never did it.
Yeah. Well, he passed away now, too.
He did.
Yeah.
That was like the big thing. How I then he just reached out again. He's like, we should have lunch, and because I have a deal, I'm working with a Hunan TV in China. You know, I just want to see if you want to be involved because you told me you like producing too.
Wow.
So we have lunch at Killer Shrimp in Marina Del Rey. That's where his boat is. And then we did a Zoom call with his Chinese friend from SC, because he from SC, and he also mentors the kids in SC.
Yeah.
So there's a Chinese guy we talked. Then he's like, you better do an open mic. I'm like, okay. Then, you know, the time was like, oh, later on after the baby, I just went to the open mic. But I bombed, of course. I'm like, this is shitty.
And that was your first time on stage?
Yeah, first time on stage.
You
was
had a baby.
2018.
2018 was your first time on stage.
No, 2019.
2019 is the first time on stage and open mic.
I'm confused. 2018, the winter, the first time on stage.
Okay. So almost 2019.
So he called me again. I said, yes, I went to open mic and I bombed. Then he's like, you better do more before you see me because let's have lunch. I said, yeah, the baby is like getting older. We should have lunch. And then before we have lunch, he passed away. He died.
Yeah.
The week.
He was great. Legendary director.
So I just think that life is so short. If he sees something in me, maybe at least I develop it. If I fail, at least I tried, because I'm not going anywhere. My acting career, because of my accent, I can't. I did a theater, like a really serious Shakespeare stuff with Howard Fine, and I'm very disciplined. But the audition is like, you know, my accent is not going to help. Yeah. So I decided I'm going to pursue comedy. I started doing it. I was pumping the milk in the car. I would run to 3 open mic places. Then I found out you have to have 10,000 hours to get any better. Then I'm like, I don't have enough time. Let me buy a comedy club. So I bought my first one on Melrose.
Yeah.
I host there 10 hours a day.
And what was it called?
The Hollywood Comedy on Melrose and Vine.
Hollywood Comedy on Melrose and Vine. And you said they had that all during the day. They'd have shows.
Open mics.
Open mics, yeah.
Every hour. I start hosting.
And who are these people that are in the audience?
No audience, only comedians.
Only comedians.
Every hour we have 8 comedians sign up.
Uh-huh.
So 8 comedians, 1 on stage, 7 watching.
Yeah.
So nobody laugh when you are funny. Nobody laugh when people happy when you are not funny.
Of course.
So
and if you are really funny, you have a great joke. People laugh despite they don't want to laugh, but they laugh, and you're like, that joke will work anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a joke at open mic and it kills, like, it'll work anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get all my jokes from the open mic. I just try them out. I host everyone because I know I could hire somebody, but it's the first time I run a business like this. I just want to learn every bit of it. So I took out the trash. I clean. I did everything. I host from 1 p.m.
Was there a bar, too? And
we have like a wine and beer donation-based stuff, but we don't really have a bar. But I just hosted every open mic 10 hours a day. That's how hard I worked. Then one month later... the pandemic came. I opened on my son's birthday, 1 year birthday, February 7th. So on March, the pandemic came, we closed down. I couldn't afford the rent. My husband was like, I told you, you'll fail anything you do. So I sold my Birkin bags at the railroad on Melrose to pay my rent.
You sell your what?
My Birkin bags.
Your Birkin bags?
It's like Hermes bags. They are like $8,000, $9,000 per bag.
Holy
I sold
shit.
Them 3 or 4 to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford it, and he's not going to help me. He just want to tell me, like, I told you you failed, and now you failed. Because he's going to do that. So
yeah.
I just did that. And I started to feel very panicked because I used to be on stage 10 hours a day. 1 month later, there's no stage. I'm home.
Yeah.
Then I turn on my phone. I start telling jokes on TikTok.
Yeah.
And that's when
your first jokes were just you talking to your phone.
Talking to my phone. And I post on TikTok.
Yeah. And so you start with 0 followers.
0.
When did you start getting traction?
I think one of my video, I was just talking to the camera. I think like after 3 weeks, I just keep doing it. I have 0 views and 20 views. And then I just did a joke about I had an awful dream. I woke up. In the dream, I was a Uber driver.
Uh-huh.
I was eating.
You're getting like a lot of like... Much better.
Yes, I was eating Panda Express in my car driving for Uber. Then I woke up, I'm like, oh, this is not going to be a nightmare because Uber was never going to hire an Asian woman driver. So I'm safe.
Yeah, that was your first joke.
That was, people were like, oh, you make fun of Uber driver. I'm like, I'm not. I make fun of me. Like, yeah, I make fun of me. Like, people were just like, my stuff, I found out that all my stuff is actually pretty controversial, and I like it. So that
did,
one, like,
did that get a lot of traction? That got a lot
of views?
It's
like 30K, but it's very big lot. For you don't have a following.
Oh my God, it's huge.
Yeah.
30K, so. I've never had 30K. Fuck. So you just said that joke, and then from there, was it just, you just start posting every day?
Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do. I was hosting Zoom mic. And I was having Don Barris from the comedy store running my virtual open mic on Instagram called the THC Virtual Open Mic. Mm-hmm. Running the Heart of Comedy. It's free every time, every night at 8. He's still running it after 2 years.
Oh, wow.
He's so amazing. So every night at 8. So I just try to get people on stage virtually. Because mental health is a big thing for comedians. And
when
we are not on stage, we freak out. We have to be doing something. So I just started doing my TikTok. I was like, this is year I have nothing productive to do. I'm going to blow up a TikTok. I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah.
So next year I can go back to work with a baby so I can have a girl. I was thinking about having a girl. I had a girl. So that was pretty nice.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing that so many people during the pandemic, and I'm probably one of them, they kind of were like, okay, this is an opportunity to sort of like, I don't know, travel, do nothing, relax, just kind of like regroup. And some people are like, this is an opportunity to actually like really blow up. And a lot of people really, I saw a lot of careers really blow up during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like David Arnold, Josh Nassar, there are a lot of people, they kind of like, they just took their phones out and they just started recording themselves and recording, you know, every day. And it sounds, I mean, you know, you need to have some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody does it becomes, but if you're funny and you have a funny idea, so you started it now. So that TikTok's building. How did it go from that to 1 million? That's a huge leap.
I think once I had a video have over a million views, the follower would climb up because the video are going around people. Because my video is just my face talking to it, very like recognizable.
Yeah,
and I think the Asian American community really relate to me, and also a lot of American people who likes Chinese culture.
Yeah,
they can learn it from a humorous way because they don't see a lot of funny immigrant Chinese person.
No, they don't.
They see Ali Wong, but she's very Americanized.
Yeah, a lot of these most
American. So they think it's pretty cool that they see a girl with an accent being funny on TikTok. So it got better when I started talking about the Chinese wife, Japanese wife, Chinese mom, American mom, the culture, and also the beauty standard, which I suffered, that I want to educate people about the beauty standard. I want to empower Asian girls who look like me to know that they're better than what they were told. So that was the big thing for me. I had a good intention, and I made it funny. And then I started making fun of American names, because whenever our name is a Ho, or a Mei Ling, or like a Bing Bing, it's like or like a Hung, you know, it's like, oh God. But however, like, I was like, Shelby means shabby in Chinese. It means stupid cunt. Like, whenever I heard somebody say Shelby, I'm like, so people were like, oh, actually, we have a funny name too, to them. Because English is not the only word, like, only language in the world. Because whenever we hear ho, we hear like a bing bing, like a bam bam. We were like, oh, what the fuck? Why would they like do this to themselves? Like, then Shelby is like pretty shocking to me. Like a Ben. Ben means stupid. Like
Ben means stupid?
Yeah, Ben means stupid.
Yeah.
Benjamin. Benjamin means stupid. G, like Benji. G means whore.
So, stupid
like,
whore.
Yeah, I want to laugh, but I can't because you don't understand what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Same like you have to stop making fun of all the hoes and like the stuff. Because we have to know that it's also funny to my ear too, your name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that blew up.
Yeah. That blew up.
That took me from 400K to a million. The name roasting, making fun of the names.
They
give me the, like, what's my name? I would be like very kind and tell them what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Tasha. Tasha means homicide.
Oh, wow. Tasha means homicide.
Ta means by somebody else. Sha means murder. So murder by somebody else. So it's not suicide.
Yeah. That's fascinating. So you started doing these videos. Now, to get from the club that you bought to the open mics, the TikTok, now you became, and now I guess you're like a semi-regular at the Laugh Factory. You have your own show at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
How'd you make that happen?
Oh my God! I bought my Amazon folding chair, and
You bought Amazon folding chair?
Yeah, the chair I can fold and sit on the street. On Laurel, here on Laurel.
Oh, I did the same thing. I auditioned on the Tuesday. This was like
Tuesday. Yeah,
it was a Tuesday afternoon. It was for me. It was like a December, so it wasn't like a huge line. But people are like today's Wednesday, but people just yesterday they were all lined up with their little chairs, waiting for their. It's a 3 minute.
I did it for a year and a half.
Every Tuesday,
almost when I was living on Kings Road, in Santa Monica. We bought a condo there, so I lived there. I just walked to the Law Factory after the baby. I'm very.
It's a
fat.
Long walk.
Yeah, and I'd bring my juice, and I bring my folding chair, and bring a book, and bring sunglasses. So people drop.
Would you
by.
Bring your baby ever? No.
No, I never bring the baby, I was just sitting there, and I at the beginning it was very hard. Then I got better, but I always was not the one who got a call back. For some reason, I mean, I wasn't there yet. So I did that for a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Then I just, I never got in. I never really got a callback, got noticed. Yeah. Then one day I found out that there is an advertisement to search for the funniest female comic.
Oh, wow.
There's a competition. So I found out there's an email I can send my tape to. So I sent my tape there. But I got much better by that point.
Yeah.
Because of the two clubs, and I do 10 shows a week.
That's insane.
For like a long time.
Yeah.
Then I did there. I went there. When I was doing it, I remember I had two beers, two IPA, because I know I'm not going to get it. So I just went there. And the whole video, that was from that set.
Oh, wow.
From that audition.
Oh, wow, it is.
It means so much. That audition changed my life.
That's crazy. Did you win the competition?
According to Enrique, he said I won. I was... me and another girl was the regular came out from.
Oh wow! So here we go.
I drink this.
We got IPA, which you've got to open.
I'm gonna
celebrate. We could talk about that. So now you have a show at the Laugh Factory now, a regular show or?
That set was very different. That gave me an idea. Who should I be on stage? Be me and be a lot me. I would try to be nicer, to be good, to be a good comedian.
Yeah, you're pretty edgy. I was surprised in San Diego because usually when I'm on stage, I'm the first person who says cunt.
Oh, did you say it? Because that's the only C word that
you say cunt a couple times.
Oh shit!
And I was like, okay, I guess she kind of popped the cunt bubble here, so we can.
I just went there. I didn't give a fuck because I know I'm not gonna get picked, and I'm just gonna. I'm like, I'm here to make people laugh. That's what I'm doing.
What
so I just did the. I just found Johnny Summer's persona on stage. That was 1990s. Like, you don't give a fuck because people don't like you. They don't like you.
Yeah,
the end of it. Your job is to be a clown, to go there and make people laugh and leave.
Yeah.
That's it. I laugh and left, and Eric is like, he sent somebody. He's like, do you want a set on Thursday?
Boom.
I'm like, what?
There's a big night here. Yeah.
Then I got booked.
Yeah.
Then I murdered that show. Then I got booked next week. Then I murdered that one. I got booked again. And then eventually, after months, I can see my face on the marquee, and I realize
that's
got passed.
That's huge.
And then I'm like, okay, now I'm passed. So I also have a show called Project Funny on the Love Factory.
Cheers, by the way. And we're cheersing because your divorce has been finalized, right?
Just
we can say that?
The paper just in the end. So it's not finalized yet.
So we shouldn't drink the whole beer. Just half the beer.
Just like.
Yeah. It's not bad. Okay. I like it.
It's
good
not
call.
Bad.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's not heavy. It's just the.
No, I like it. It has a little bit of, something. Yeah. Just a hint of hops. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway. So,
it's hard. How was your Love Factory journey?
Well, I thanks for asking. I did the audition, like the 3 minutes, and then there were like, I don't know if Jamie was there for the 3 minute, but the guy said, okay, I think I've been doing it for like 3 or 4 months. And he goes, come do the 5 minute one. And I'm not the business person you are. I'm not as driven as you are. I'm whatever. I can work hard if I'm given a task, but if I'm just alone, I'm like, I guess I'm just gonna watch TV and jerk off. So
your comedy is the best, some of the best in the business right now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that. I'm honest. I'm very mean.
That.
I'm very critical.
Thank you. And you're not just saying that because you're my feature.
I mean it. No, I mean it. I really mean it.
Thank you. Anyway, so I, but I did have this sense when I started comedy. I'd seen the Comedy Store, the Improv, but the Laugh Factory to me, I just loved it. I loved the rainbow and the sun and how bright it was. I loved the comics that were there. Joe Coy was there and all these people, Dan Cook, back in the day. I just loved how it just wasn't dark to me. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, the comedy may have been dark, but you didn't go into the club and just feel like you wanted to kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was bright. Mm-hmm. It was funny. It was, you know, so I never felt that way. When I went to Comedy Store, I was always like, ugh, I never really responded to it. Mm-hmm. Or the Brick Wall, the Improv, I never responded to it. So the Laugh Factory, I just had this idea. I would just picture my name on the marquee. I would just see it. Even before I did comedy, I just would like, I want to do this place. So when I did my 5-minute set at the Laugh Factory, Jamie saw it. And it was, I mean, I don't remember. It was dumb. Whatever it was me running around stage, doing a lot of physical comedy. And I don't know what the fuck I was doing. It was ridiculous. And then you'd meet with Jamie. I don't think he does that much anymore. But I went upstairs and I waited and I sat with him. He goes, how long have you been doing? I lied. I said, I've been doing it 1.5 years. I've been doing it for like 4 months.
And oh, my God. And 4 months.
He goes, buddy, you got something that I don't know if you're ready. And I go, Jamie. And I'm not this guy. But I go, Jamie, this is my club. This is where I'm going to work. We're going to work together. Let's cut the bullshit and just pass me. Because
wow.
This is my club. This is where I'm going to work. This is going to happen. So let's, like, come on. What are you doing? Let's just do it. And I'm not that guy. I'm not like a bushy, pushy guy. But I just felt for some reason, I was just like, this is where I want to work.
This is organic.
If I do come, this is where I want to work. I just felt it. And he was kind of like, huh, interesting. And he goes, well, you have to come back and do another set, completely different material. Has to be clean. I went back, and at this point, he had a management company. This guy, David Tochterman, saw me, and he liked me. I was doing a play off-Broadway in New York in 2006, and Jamie was like, he came, and he saw the play. It was a two-person play with Dan Loria from The Wonder Years, and he was like, this guy, like, he knows how to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So when he opened up the New York Laugh Factory in 2006, 2007, he kind of, like, he put me in as, like, the house MC.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really how it came up and wow. The New York Laugh Factory. And you know, I'm friends with Jamie to this day, but he's the one who kind of saw something and took me in and it's been good and bad because on one level, like I've just never really wanted to do other clubs. I've always mm-hmm. like, I'm a Laugh Factory loyalist. I'm kind of here all the time and you know, but you, as a comic, you should go everywhere and do all the clubs mm-hmm. and set yourself up to humiliation constantly. But yes. But yeah, but that was kind of my story. Yeah. Well, that's like, amazing. Your story, are you kidding me?
Mine is not. Mine is like just folding chair.
You left a country. And you
yeah, I left the country.
Bucked the whole system.
I just came here.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, and
my mom never saw my name on the marquee in person, but she did make me all the juice in the afternoon, send me off to the waiting list, in the line at the Laugh Factory. She haven't seen it. I have to drive her tomorrow night to see it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
night.
Yeah.
I should do it for her to see it.
That must be big. And it must be, I mean, even your, I don't know if people, I mean, no Laugh Factory has recognition and global recognition. I don't know if in China it means anything, the
in
name.
In China, the Laugh Factory means the top comedy club in the world.
Oh, really?
That means...
Yeah. And a lot of countries, it is synonymous with it. But
China's stand-up comedy is very strong right now since Zhou Wang went back and it's just become very trendy.
Have you performed stand-up in China?
I left China 2018 after winter after the baby. I never got back after the... because the pandemic.
Yeah, so you didn't start stand-up.
But I can do stand-up in Chinese, probably better than English. But my materials is like not China.
A little dark.
Not China ready.
You might end up in a Chinese prison.
Yeah, I will. So I'm going to talk about how much I love the party.
That's freaking crazy. So the censorship there is pretty nuts. I mean, how good are the comics there if they have to be censored like that?
Mm.
Is there an underground scene that they're able to work out at?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's all rainbow and sunshine.
Yeah.
And I got censored on TikTok for talking about the one-child policy. I had to.
What was your joke? What was your bit?
I was born in China in the 90s. There's the one-child policy, penis only. So when I was born, my father was taking me to the dumpster. But he was drunk, so he dropped me. My mother heard me screaming and crying. She was like, she's ugly, but she's a fighter. Let's keep her. Meanwhile, all the other baby girls, they end up in the dumpster. They were taken by coyotes, hyenas, and Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein.
That's it. That's the joke.
That's
got
the
me
joke.
Canceled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they shut down your TikTok from that
yeah,
joke?
Yeah, they said that your account will not be recovered.
Whoa!
And then I got my lawyer wrote a letter and everything, worked very hard, and talked to New York LA Times, and the LA Times did an article on me. That's the front page for entertainment.
After you were banned from TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I just like, this is, I moved out from my house. I was... my marriage is over. And my TikTok was the thing that I felt that I accomplished something.
Yeah.
And that's taken. I had nothing. Wow, I was the darkest time of my life.
Yeah.
It's not a marriage. It's more like the TikTok part. Because
yeah.
you can have a new husband. You can't have a million followers.
Yeah.
So I was crying. I was so... I'm like,
and
you,
you'd had a million followers at this point when it was removed. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Jesus.
So I was like, I'm gonna figure this out. This cannot define me. If I can mm-hmm. come from the dumpster to here, I cannot let this defeat me. I'm yeah. gonna do something.
Yeah.
And I did something.
Yeah. And you got the LA Times. So the LA Times article is really what shifted it?
I don't think so. I think my lawyer.
Your lawyer. Was
my
a good
Jewish lawyer.
Lawyer.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you mentioned his race, by the way. Yeah. That's important. And he was able to get it back. Mm-hmm. But now you're kind of on a list.
Yeah.
You're kind of being watched. Your TikTok is being watched.
Yeah, I don't blow
up
as I used to be. Like, my stuff is not blowing up. Like, the thing is, like, hilarious on my account is not going like other accounts.
So you feel like you're being shadow banned.
Oh, shadow banned for sure. Like,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I only grow 100K for like a half year. Normally, I grow 200K in 1 month.
Jesus
on
Christ.
On TikTok. Because the base is high and my stuff is constant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then
Instagram is a different, you know, it's not owned by the Chinese government
no.
yet. And YouTube Shorts and
it's
stuff like
that. It's
owned
by a Chinese woman. I think Zach...
Instagram is?
I'm kidding. Zuckerberg's wife is Chinese, right?
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, he needs a Chinese wife to count all his money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So, wow, I could talk to you forever. I think we should probably... you know, wrap up soon. But you got like you got your following now. You got so when you do shows around the country, people will come up and. When
fans.
San Diego, we had fans. People
yeah,
showed up.
Yeah, we have
up.
Fans. They show up. I want to market ahead of time. I want to talk with them on my live Instagram and TikTok. And I'm thinking about like planning on shows like 2 months ahead. I'm thinking about Vancouver. Uh-huh. It's a huge Chinese community.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking about the planning things ahead of time.
And obviously San Francisco, I don't know if you performed
up
there.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go there. I had a conversation with Max Amini. He was uh-huh. telling me about targeting to your audience. I
oh, think absolutely.
That was really
absolutely.
Inspiring.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the Persian comics and they're able to like galvanize like or Joe Coy with the Philippine community. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot. I mean, obviously they're good comics anyway, but if you get a community that's really sort of behind your journey, your struggle, and they
yeah.
want you to succeed because you represent them.
Yes.
I don't like white people don't need to be represented. You know what I mean? We have enough. So it's kind of like it's a slightly different journey. But so that's really incredible. So you already have like a game plan set up in place to sort of like. I mean, is there another? Are there any other born in China comics headlining and touring the country right now?
No.
No. You're it.
I'm the person.
Yeah, you're the person. So there's. I'm assuming that there are probably from mainland China or other Asiatic countries, there's got to be several million people
mm-hmm.
that could kind of relate to your journey and have similar-ish stories from leaving China, coming to America. There must be millions, right?
Yeah, even immigrants, they would relate to my story
yeah, yeah,
as
exactly.
an immigrant, as a foreigner.
As any immigrant.
Yeah.
And I think this country is like 25% immigrants right
yeah.
now. Yeah. So, that's amazing. That's a huge, huge, what's your next step? Like, what do you look at and go, okay, this is where, because it sounds like what you've been doing, your plan's really been working, but what do you have sort of in the next 5 years or pie in the sky? What do you look at and go, this is what I'm going to do to get to this next level? Like, what is the next level for you?
Next level would be having a very strong, amazing 1 hour that at this stage of my time, I'm doing 10 shows, over 10 shows a week. Naturally, I'm getting better little by little, but at this point, I think I need the help of the writers to review my jokes mm-hmm. and try out new things to dig deeper, go to the things that works. Now I realize that the best thing for my comedy is the stuff I talk about in my TikTok that blow up. Whenever I have a video over 2 or 5 million views, they are always about being Chinese, being a girl in China, the beauty standard, the uh-huh. difference between all the different Asian races, because we are not one country. It's
yeah.
all different Asians are different. So those jokes, they always blow up.
Yeah.
And also my take on pop culture, they
yeah.
blow up. Like what I think, because it's very funny to have a person with accent talk about they don't like
it. Of course.
Just
well,
mess.
I mean, I think that's a lot of movies and books and everything is Stranger in a Strange Land phenomenon. When people are kind of dropped into a situation like, what is this? Doesn't make, because it doesn't make sense to the people who are
yeah.
born in it.
Yeah.
So the people who they get to see it from an outsider's perspective, which makes it even funnier. You
yeah. know? So I think those are gonna be the thing I dig deeper of finding the heart and core of myself.
Yeah.
I was thinking about building a 1 hour special. Hi Netflix, take me one cheap. Yeah. And also touring the country
yeah,
would be
sure.
what's the next step. But of course, working harder, getting better at my comedy would uh-huh. be what I want the most, to get better.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. You've been doing it for, I guess, 3 years now?
2.5, almost three.
Almost 3 years. And you're already like, you know, I mean, you featured and...
I featured for Bill. That's big.
No, you'll get a lot bigger than that, believe me. But I'm saying you featured in San Diego, which is like... It's not the easiest crowd. They're not the mm-hmm. easiest people to make laugh. And you did great. And there wasn't any sense. And Nikki's been doing it for a while. I've been doing it for a long time. So there's never sense that you didn't belong on the show. You were great and people loved you. So
we're a great team.
Yeah,
we had like everything covered.
Yeah,
our show.
every race was made fun mm-hmm. of. Every culture was made fun mm-hmm. of. So that's really amazing. I just want to commend you and congratulate you for everything
Cheers.
You've done and your soon to be divorce. I think the world's going to be really big for you. And just remember, when you get hugely famous, just bring me along to feature next time.
Of course,
all right?
You are going to co-headline with me if I get right. to that point pretty soon.
All right. So where can people find you so they can?
I'm on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter, Facebook at Jiayin Summers. JIAOYINGSUMMERS.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank